Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome to the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. As everybody knows, it's all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Hey, let's talk youth sports, one of my favorite topics. We've got a great doubleheader today. Natalie Graves is a clinical social worker, speaker, and she's a specialist in athletes' mental health, particularly young athletes' mental health and wellness. And she's hosting this upcoming expo this coming couple of weeks from now, the student athlete expo in Chicago. She'll talk about that. She's returning to the show. And then we've got John O'Sullivan. He's an author, speaker, coach. He's the founder of Changing the Game Project. It's been a very, very popular, exciting program for all aspects of youth sports. Then it's the Sports Doctor's In. We'll answer some emails, talk about upcoming shows. First, I want to welcome back Natalie Graves. Hey, Natalie, welcome back.
Hey, how are you, Dr. Bob? Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you back. And I know give us a little bit of what you do and mix in the exciting expo you've got coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Natalie Graves. I have a private practice where I specialize in working with athletes, Natalie Graves Athletic Counseling. And in my practice, I specialize in working with performance and mental health with athletes at all levels. And I have had the opportunity to assist athletes from Little League all the way up to retired athletes as it relates to issues that impact their performance and then issues that are outside of the sport that also can cause concerns and impact performance as well. So I'm really excited about our upcoming event that we're having in June the 22nd and 23rd. I'm a part of a founding organization, the One in Four Project. And the name One in Four comes from, in any given year, one in four people have a mental illness. That could be depression, anxiety, alcoholism, a number of things. So if you think about that, one in four, it's a very common thing, but we treat it as if it's, you know, mental illness is a taboo and we have a lot of stigma around it. So by organization, the One in Four Project, we are having a student athlete expo. And this is something that we are thrilled to have. We will be having inviting high school and college athletes on June 22nd and 23rd at the Pullman Community Center, and that's located 10355 South Woodlawn. It's a brand new athletic center over there, and we're going to be having specialized workshops and speakers specifically for high school and college athletes. You will not.
You know, it's interesting, Natalie. You know, you've been on the show a couple of times, and we've really, you know that on the Sports Doctor for decades, I've been talking about the mental game in all aspects of youth sports or serious or professional sports. And the idea that you pay attention to off the court stuff as a social worker, with these young athletes at all levels, you know, I've always thought was a very, very big deal, whether you're talking family dynamics, whether you're talking finances, these endless challenges that are there, regardless sometimes of the level of the athletes. And so age-wise, you work, you know, from under 10 years old to 100, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. My youngest that I've worked with is about 11, 12 years old. Absolutely.
This is where it has to start. I think the club sports, serious already. When you're talking, by the time it's high school sports, it's serious. I'm not saying that people are going to be, everybody's going to be a professional or an Olympian. We're not talking that. But the pressures of scholarships and the epidemic of overuse youth sports injuries, it's one of the reasons I co-authored the book, Hashtag A Sports Parents, as you well know, because the epidemic of overuse injuries, Natalie, are not only physical, but they're mental.
That's overkill, right.
And overschedule and all of these kinds of problems. So I would imagine that the and you work with a lot of inner city youth, don't you?
I do. And you know when we're talking, I'm sorry, Dr. Bob, go on.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, when you're talking about injuries, it has a physical effect, obviously, but what goes unnoticed a lot of times is the mental health aspect. What we know is that athletes that have chronic injuries are more at risk for clinical depression and isolation. And so we really have to pay attention to our athletes who are injured, not only taking care of the physical injury, but also making sure that they're taking care of their emotional well-being as well.
Yes, again, that's a very, very big deal at all levels, whether it's somebody who's coming back from an injury, like we had mentioned, whether it's the parents of somebody who's coming back from an injury. You know, one of the biggest chapters in my book is youth sports and drugs. Over-the-counter pain medicines are a nightmare. Dr. Weil, don't you understand? My daughter's competing next week, and he's hurting her. She's taking Advil and whatever. You know, we push over-the-counter and prescription drugs like nowhere else in the world. And we don't have to remind ourselves of the nightmare that's going on with opioids and pain medicine. A lot of it was sports-related years ago, where these pain pills would be given to these kids after an injury, after surgery, and by the time we turned around, we had nightmares, you know, with addiction. So the pressure is very, very often big time. I like the idea. What's the best website, Natalie, to find out about you and the expo?
Well, for sure, for the expo, and we will actually be having a panel discussion, Dr. Bob, called Managing and Coping with Injuries. And for folks to register or if they want to donate, go to our website, 1in4project.org. We're also on Facebook, 1in4project.org. We're on Instagram and Twitter as well. So I really want to just share with you some of the workshops that we're going to be having in some of the panels. We're going to be talking about recruitment one-on-one. So we're going to have professional coaches and athletes talking about the recruitment process so high school and college athletes can understand that. Managing and coping injuries, like I was just talking about. We'll have a mental wellness panel discussion. We're having people fly in all over the country to do these talks, these workshops. We're having someone do social media. We're having someone to come in talking about the balancing act of student-athletes, student advocacy. And I'm even doing a workshop, Dr. Bob, and, of course, it'll be mental health and mental toughness.
Yes, so, and you know, if I wasn't going to be out of town with family, I definitely would have been taking part in this excellent educational program, and that's what it really is. You know, you said something very, very interesting. I agree with it 1,000%. You said the balancing act of the student-athlete. We're going to talk more about that, everybody. You're listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can go to newspaper articles and read all about different magazines and articles on an endless array of topics, from women in high heels to whether your son or daughter should specialize, to some great articles on all aspects of sports medicine. And again, if you go to radio shows, you can go back over 10 years. You could see who was on, what was their topics, and listen to whatever you would like. We get a big following on Twitter, over 30,000 followers. I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter and LinkedIn in so many different topics. That's SportsDocDOC Radio. Talking with Natalie Graves, a clinical social worker, and she's really a specialist with a private practice and student athletes. She's got this big expo, educational programs coming up in Chicago in a week and a half or so. And the family dynamics, again, in so many areas, there's so much critique. You know, the front cover of Time magazine 2 years ago, Natalie, was a Little Leaguer. And Little Leaguer, yeah. Cute kid on the front of Time magazine. And the caption was, youth sports, the $15 billion industry. And this is a huge industry. And some of the challenges, again, are the overuse. I have a chapter in my book called The Prodigy Sports. We tell everybody we would love if the kid didn't specialize in one sport and use different parts of the body, et cetera. But if your son or daughter is a young figure skater or if they're a young gymnast, even tennis or soccer, they might say, hey, man, you don't get it. I only want to play the one sport. So the areas and the pressures of the family dynamics. Now, Natalie, you've also mentioned to me, I remember in previous shows, you had worked with, you know, retired pro athletes who were, yes, you know, dealing with the mental challenges of, you know, what do I do now?
That's exactly right. And one of the things that is very common that I see with athletes that are retired is really trying to grip and come to grasp that they're no longer playing the sport. And so there's a loss of identity that happens with that particular athlete. They're not part of the team anymore, so there's a loss of kinship that happens. There's a feeling of isolation. The cheers of the crowd is no longer there. No one is calling their name. And so it's trying to figure out, well, what is my life like now? And there's a real challenge around that. And so some of the work that I have to do with the retired athletes is to really help them to realize that there is life after sports.
Yeah, it's a very, very big challenge. That's why we see one of the greats, one of my faves, that coming out of New York, Joe Namath, doing a Medicare commercial, you know.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, yes, it's great. We love them. And the idea, again, of those kinds of challenges, you know, when someone's had all of this fame. We just lost one of my favorite athletes a week or so ago, Billy Buckner, the Chicago Cubs. Billy wore my orthotics his whole career in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
And he worked. Yes, he came to see Bob Guida, the famous sports therapist at our facility, Sports Fitness Institute, to really, really work him and get him stronger, as strong as he could possibly be. His story, unbelievable, with in Boston and tremendous mental challenges after his career because of some crazy stuff.
Right.
So those things are really, really there.
They are.
How much attention do you pay, Natalie, to, I would imagine you're in the middle of it, which is the physical side. You know, what are these young athletes doing to try to stay out of trouble and to improve themselves? How is your programs interact with some of the different coaches? I would think they love you.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that the coaches really like is for me to come and talk about team building and leadership. You know, some of the actual life skills part of being an athlete. And so some of the work that I'll do is teamwork or group work, where we're really trying to enhance not only the athlete within his sport, but also the individual outside of the sport, whether that's being making a good decision, making good choices, you know, ethics and values. And so we really want to emphasize not only being a stellar athlete, but also a stellar individual. And that is really important with some of the work that we're doing.
I think that's why you use the word balancing act.
Right.
You know, where these kids are might be very, very busy in school. They might have all sorts of different family dynamics, and they're trying to excel in a sport. And again, by the time you're in high school, let alone college, you are many times training every day. The challenge
That's right.
of Yeah. The not that old new challenge of looking to train year round because of, again, this pressure to play. And this has been a big, big challenge in the world of sports medicine, which is to try to cool it, whether we're talking to the parents or the coaches about the aggressiveness, the strength and conditioning coaches. And every year we see these nightmares from just what I call sometimes the Svengali coaches, whether it's traveling teams, whether it's club sports. You know, you might have a 13-year-old kid who's already playing volleyball 5 days a week and
That's
dealing
right.
with the physical side. And there's a lot of great stuff with that. But I like your kind of stuff, proactive, to try to stay out of trouble to try to do the only two things anybody cares about, sort of, Natalie. One, can you stay out of injury? Can you prevent injury problems? And two, hey, how about enhancing performance? But the non-sports side of what you pay attention to as a social worker, I just think that this is a tremendous marriage. You know, there's sports psychology, there's mental training, and there's what you do. All about, again, what we pay such a big deal. I make such a big deal out on the sports doctor, which is, I call it the mental game. And that other side of it, respect. So coaches, I would think, using your services, do you find kind of a, if we said the largest group of who you see, would it be junior high school and high school?
It would be high school and probably retired. That would be probably the highest, and have some college in there as well. So it really varies, you know, depending on what's the need of the athlete.
Now, most of these retired players, Natalie, are parents and grandparents, you know?
That's right.
And there's one exit, whether it's Steph Curry's dad's in the stands and his brother's playing and these families, that's got to be an interesting part of the retired athlete if they happen to be a parent, whether at least you could hang on being in the stands and rooting for your kids for the next 20 years, right?
You're absolutely right. And I actually call that the sports family, where there's a parent who played or who coached, and now the offspring who plays or coach. And there's a very unique dynamic that happens with that particular family. And I've had to do some family sessions around some of the issues.
Oh, I
you
bet.
Know, with boundaries and stress.
Let alone coaching your own kids. Natalie, give me the website real quick. We're just about out of time. Give me the website again about you and or the expo.
Absolutely. To register for the Student Athlete Expo June 22nd and 23rd, it's 1imforproject.org. And you can register today. It is only $50 for 2 days. And you are going to get unique, specialized information for high school and college athletes. You do not
want
to miss
this event.
Great.
Natalie, thanks so much. Thanks so much, Natalie. Hold on real quick. We're going to be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about 6 parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody. We're live. We're back. It's the Sports Doctor here in Chicago. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Told you we're going to be talking youth sports today. I want to welcome John O'Sullivan. He is the founder of Changing the Game Project, author also of the book Changing the Game. John started Changing the Game back in 2012 after a couple of decades as a soccer player and coach on various, all the way up to the professional level. And hey, John, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Great. Give us a little bit of a story about you Changing the Game Project. I call it the who, what question. Who are you and what are you doing?
Sure. Well, you kind of gave a brief intro there. What we do with Changing the Game Project is we work with schools and sports clubs and national governing bodies. So we've worked with everyone from the U.S. Olympic Committee down to local youth sports organizations, trying to educate coaches and parents and athletes and make sports a better experience for everybody involved.
Yeah, it's a big deal. You know, we're in the same world, again, whether it's iSport 360 and Eel Goldberg's group or the National Alliance of Youth Sports. I had a great guest on from England a month ago, working with parents in sports.
Yeah, Gordon.
With Gordon, yes. So many different great groups. You're right smack in the middle of it. You know, you talk about in Changing the Game. We all know what we're up against. It's why I co-authored my book. There's an epidemic of overuse youth sports injuries, both mentally and physically. And, you know, giving youth sports back to our kids is one of your quotes, is a big deal to you. So talk about that again and what's important to you.
Sure. I think there's been a big shift between when I'm 47, I grew up on Long Island in New York, and, you know.
Where on the island?
Oh, Port Jefferson, about halfway out in the North Shore.
I'm Massapequa. Go ahead.
Well, there you go. There you
hey,
go.
Man.
So, you know, we did, you know, sports was, you know, me and my friends competing against other people. And now it seems like sports is often parents competing against other parents through their kids, right? And so
yes.
That's what we're trying to change, that children in sport have very different needs and desires and priorities than adults in sport. And what we've done is we've taken the adult values and the adult priorities of sport, and we've superimposed them upon our children. And we've, therefore, we're asking them to do more, 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 younger, younger, younger. We've asked them to, you know, compete for a 7-year-old national championship. And none of these things are based upon good science or, you know, in your world, good medical practice that keeps kids healthy. And they're very
yes.
short-term views that often lead to kids burning out and dropping out and quitting sports forever. And it's not good for those kids, and it's not good for our society.
Yes, there's been some great awareness. I'm very proud to have been a part of that for decades. We have talked about on the Sports Doctor exactly what you're talking about. And it's an amazing thing that in this day and age, still it's a bigger deal and a bigger challenge than it was many, many years ago. When, again, we're talking about children playing adult sports with adult rules and sometimes, again, going way, way overboard. It's why one of the biggest chapters in my book, John, is called Youth Sports and Drugs, where we see this epidemic of over-the-counter pain medicine. One of my bottom lines on the Sports Doctor to all parents is if you are giving your son or daughter over-the-counter pain medicine to participate, you're over the line. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, very big deal. It's a big challenge with these, again, kinds of pressures, you know. And on the one hand, we see so much information and great awareness and great education. You're in the middle of it. And then, like childhood obesity, we turn around and we say, Jesus, we're treading water, man. You know, this is this $17 billion a year youth sports injury, rather industry, is making things... I'm sure you've seen a lot of progress.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, people ask me that all the time. Are we making progress? And I'm so close to it, I don't think I have a very neutral opinion of it. But I do feel like there are more leagues and more coaches and more sporting organizations that are interested in making it better.
Yes.
I feel like the pendulum has swung very far in one direction, so that it's become unsustainable financially, unsustainable commitment-wise. And now, you know, we have parents who are pushing back and saying, no, you know what, I'm not signing my six-year-old up for an 11-month commitment at this point. That's not what we're supposed
right.
to do for six-year-olds.
Unless they love
no.
it.
Yeah.
You know, one of the challenges, John, and I know you've written about it, one of the challenges, it's a chapter in my book, called The Prodigy Sports. I, again, you know, one of my poster boys is the 2010 Men's Olympic figure skating gold medalist, Evan Lysacek, grew up in Naperville, Illinois, and I put orthotics in his skates when he was 10 years old. I'm still putting orthotics in the skates of 10-year-olds. He became the best in the world. He didn't want to do any other sports. So when we're talking club sports and some of these others, and, you know, think gymnastics, think ballet, even tennis and soccer. We might have 12, 13-year-olds. They don't want to play other sports, even though we all tell them, because one of the categories, of course, is repetitive motion injuries. So there is a category of specialization. And what I do is I recommend these families and kids see a good physical therapist, see a good sports therapist who could put your son or daughter on a well-thought-out program to try to prevent problems. And, of course, then good luck to you, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, what we have to understand two things. Number one, you know, you just mentioned figure skating and gymnastics. These are what sports scientists would consider early specialization sports, right? A figure skater
yes.
has to learn to rotate their body through the air before they hit their growth spurt, right? Same with a gymnast, right? That's why they put in a lot of hours early on. But that being said, even a kid only playing one sport, it doesn't change the fact that they, and loving that one sport, doesn't change the fact that they need a multi-movement experience. And you can get a multi-movement
yes.
experience by sampling various sports, and you can get a multi-movement experience within a sport by adding
yes.
in strength and conditioning, martial arts,
yes.
yoga.
I could give
yeah.
them, I can give them a multimedia experience. Again, one of the things I talk about again in the book is I talk about two essential exercises, John, regardless of your kid's age, regardless of this sport, two exercise concepts. One, of course, I'm prejudiced. Strengthen your feet and ankles with rubber bands.
Mm-hmm.
And two, work balance. And regardless of what these kids' sports happen to be, you know, and serious youth sports is not for everybody. And then we start dealing with the moms and dads. And that's why I always ask experts like yourself, John, how's your psychology skills, man?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think, there's so many things that we can do. And it's very important for parents to remember that we all still have to be the adult in the room, right? When my son was 7, he only wanted to eat macaroni and cheese, but I know he has to eat his vegetables. And the younger a child is, the easier it is to sample something. Now, maybe they play soccer first and they like it. It doesn't mean taking 3 months off and trying something else you know, you never know if he'll like
Absolutely.
Something better. I just
yes, that's what I think, and I think as more and more parents learn and listen to the validity of paying attention, then we would see it's a very elite group that does these prodigy sports. That's why a young girl could win the U.S. women's figure skating title this last January before the age of 14. So, of course, it's off the walls and it's nuts. But even, again, the club sports and traveling teams, you're talking about more and more and more of these kids are involved in serious sports. And, of course, you're part of the battle, like we all are, to make sure that PE is included in all schools. And that's still a challenge, isn't it, John?
It is a huge challenge. And I mean,
unbelievable.
You mentioned Naperville before. You know, they've been highlighted in books like John Rady's Spark about their PE program there. And
he's been on my show, man. Yes.
Oh, Paul has. Yeah, I mean, Paul's awesome. And, you know, learning readiness PE. So just physical activity and movement is so important, not just for physical health, but mental health and overall well-being, you know, throughout a lifetime.
Yes, it's interesting. You know, you'll hear it if you didn't catch her live, Natalie Graves, our first guest, talking exactly that, the whole mental health world of youth athletes and it's kind of challenges and the relationship. Again, I call it the mental game. Whether your kid is the best in the country or whether they're just trying to participate and whether we're dealing with injury problems, et cetera, we want to be able to count on the fact that there's some sort of sensible pressure or lack of. And like you and Natalie both said, you know, other parts of the non-sports life is a very, very important thing to make sure that we continue to implement these things. So your project, besides the name of the book, the Changing the Game project, is about incorporating a lot of these things into school systems, park district systems. Is that right, John?
Yes, certainly. I mean, there's a lot of good information out there, and we have to turn information into knowledge, and knowledge is action. So what we've tried to do between our blog, between our Way of Champions podcast, between books, and I'm working on another book right now for coaches, is basically, you know, provide people a trusted source of information so they know that if they read one of our articles or hear one of our guests, these people are vetted, right? We have so much information out there.
Yes.
In
what's the website,
know,
John? What's the best website for them to find out about all this stuff?
Sure, changingthegameproject.com. That's the mothership for sure.
There you go. And that this way they could access to whatever you're talking about. You know, the educational side of all of this is as challenging, if not more, today, which I think surprises a lot of people. Again, as youth sports has become a very, very, very big business, to the other sides of the whole, again, mental game, where we're talking about by the time these youngsters are in high school, 5% of them are playing anything. The rest of them are looking at their phones all day. So you know, the idea of paying attention, you know, to these kinds of things, you know, makes so much sense to me. Give us some bullets from the book, John. All right,
sure.
We're going to just about, let's do that when we come back, John. We're going to be just about taking a break. Everybody, it's the Sports Doctor, and let's talk about that book. John O'Sullivan joining us, founder of Chaining the Game Project. Be right back, Sports Doctor. If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems.
also enhancing performance. Step or two quicker, call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. We're talking with John O'Sullivan. He's really one of the leaders in the effort of safe youth sports, of educated families, of, again, his whole changing the game. I'm going to paraphrase, which is putting youth sports into some sort of perspective, is back with us. And I was asking him about some bullets from his book, that was when he started the project back down in 2012. So, John, give us some of the things that are the most important messages in the book.
Sure. Well, the subtitle of the book is, The Parent's Guide to Raising Happy, High-Performing Athletes and Giving Youth Sports Back to Our Kids. So we already talked about that second part. So really what I talk about is, I love this quotation from a guy named Tim Galway. He said, performance is potential minus interference. So how are kids going to play is their potential, which is the genes we've given them, plus their hours of practice, plus all those things that we layer on, minus interference. And interference is usually between their ears. And so I talk about how we as adults can use what I call the seven C's of a high-performing state of mind to help our kids. So that's common sense and perspective. That's how we give our kids, create the right conditions, good communication, caring and unconditional love, how we give them control, how we develop competence, and how competence develops confidence.
Yes, yeah,
so
great point.
All these things work together.
Hey, I got another pearl for you from the sports, Dr. John, because you're talking interference is a great term, and injury falls right smack in the middle of that. Again,
oh, sure.
When we're talking about whatever interference getting in the way of what you're talking about, and I think that that's something that, of course, is near to dear to both of us. I like that term, interference, performance minus interference.
Performance minus interference. Tim Galway, The Inner Game of Tennis, is where that comes from.
Yes, because again, the whole aspect. Things as simple as, what's the best shoe for your son or daughter to be in? To, what's their body type? To, what's their history of problems? And paying attention to, I call it all sorts of athletic thinking screening, where we're trying to do the two things that everybody cares about. Number one being, can I prevent injuries? Can I stay out of trouble, regardless of what sport my son or daughter is playing? And number two, can we enhance performance? Can we pay attention to the mental game and the important points, John, that you're talking about involving some of those, particular areas, self-esteem, all these kinds of things, the mind-body connection. I think that that sounds that you're paying attention to that.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, I think the big thing, you talk about shoes and how so many parents are willing to drop $100, $200 on a pair of shoes without spending $10 on a book that helps them deal with their child's mental state, or a $300 baseball bat, yet they sit there in the car ride home and yell and micromanage their kid. And then they, buy the bat, but they won't think about changing their behavior, which has a far greater effect on their child's positive or negative performance.
Yes, and so, I think when you're stressing those kinds of ideas, John, more and more of these clubs, and sometimes I call them Svengali coaches, we all know about the overkill world of youth sports. We all are very, very familiar with it, and we're talking about that. The more we can include these kinds of principles, like you just hit on exactly, were your local club or the serious high school teams or other areas of youth recreational leagues paying attention to these kinds of ideas early to try to, stay out of trouble, makes so much sense. So you were a soccer coach, You played mm-hmm. yourself. Hey, man, that's why you got to strengthen those feet and ankles. You know what I mean, John?
Well, I mean, you know, you mentioned that twice, and I think it's important. You know, you would know this better than I, but I think the number one predictor of whether you get an ACL injury is poor ankle flexion, right?
And so, well, it's alignment.
It's alignment. That's ankle part flexion, of it. It's glutes, it's IT strength, it's femoral yeah. rotation. You know, it's all these things. But ankle flexion is a huge part of that.
Yeah.
And,
but that's
you know,
why I sing you the song, John. I sing you the song that the foot bones connected to the ankle bones, connected to the knee bone. And when it comes to overuse injuries in your world of youth sports, that's where it's at when something becomes persistent and chronic. And these are the things that I constantly look to include in all the thinking with all of you guys in all of these areas of youth sports, because it is such a big deal, the physical side, whether it's the proper type of training without there being overkill, and the inclusion, again, of the mental game, like you're talking about, you know, the earlier the better. So we say, you know, including the mental game on the left and strengthening your feet and ankles on the right. You know what I mean?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. We have to take an environmental and a whole person approach to it.
Yes, we talk a lot about, John, also the balance, the importance of balance, the whatever the sport, whatever the level for a boy or girl, learning to tilt, work with the balance boards, the BOSU, creating instability is one of the most dynamic kinds of exercises, whether you're a superstar or a young kid. So a lot of times, again, that's something else we try to stress in your world, which is the inclusion, you know, of some of the kinds of overall body exercises that we want to include into the education of, you know, how do we stay out of trouble here as this kid is starting to play 3 days a week or 4 days a week, or, you know, by the time you get to junior high school and high school, you know, you're being very, very serious. You pay big attention to something that's very important to me, John, which is, you know, the art of recovery, right? Mm-hmm. Time off.
Sleep. I mean, sleep, one of the most important things, and we have a whole generation of children now that aren't getting sleep because they're on their devices right before they go to bed. They're
huge
staying
point.
Up
huge
too late
point.
Or getting up early for homework. And sleep is what consolidates learning, whether it's physical learning or mental learning. So, you know, the biggest performance enhancer to be a better student or a better athlete, I think it's been proven over and over again, studies, is proper
yes.
sleep. And yet we often treat that as the last thing. You know, I'll sleep when I'll die. And it's such a terrible attitude.
And it's like Natalie was saying at the beginning of the show, too, of course, the world of social media and how that's thrown everything into good luck to all of us. When we're talking about, again, something as simple and profound as the importance of sleep and getting, you know, proper rest, you know, including, you know, a year doesn't go by, John, when we don't see somebody else dying of heat-related situations in the world of even college football. It's unbelievable that even, again, these kinds of stringent rules, we see, you know, classic examples of going against them. Changing the Game Project, John O'Sullivan, the author, again, of the project, author of the book. What's the website again, John, before we run out of time?
Yeah, it's just changingthegameproject.com is the website, and you can just search for us on, you know, Twitter, Facebook for our pages, and then, you know, our podcast called The Way of Champions, and you can find that on iTunes or Stitcher or any of those fun places.
Great. The man's everywhere. John O'Sullivan, thanks so much. John, hold on a quick second. Everybody will be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Again, buzz over to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, and you can go over to radio shows and go back, almost 10 years and pick and choose a topic or a guest you'd love to listen to. You can go over to newspaper articles and magazines, and you could read about all sorts of areas and topics in the world of health, wellness, fitness, sports, medicine. My various topics from our book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. And again, we got a big time following on Twitter at Sports Doc, DOC Radio. Constant great information in all areas of sports medicine, health, and wellness, besides information and replays of the radio show. And again, I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter. I get a lot also from LinkedIn, authors, doctors, therapists, in lots of different areas of expertise, dietitians, etc. Who's coming up the next couple of weeks? Next week, Dr. Joy Kong. She's a regenerative medicine, functional medicine specialist. She'll be joining us. A lot of exciting stuff in the world of anti-aging, other topics she'll be discussing. Then Darren Daniels, locally in Chicago, a fitness warehouse organization that's involved with strengthening and health and wellness equipment, fitness equipment at all levels. He'll be joining us the following week. Dr. Kathy Weber, she's one of the team physicians for the Bulls and White Sox. She's been with them for, I think, decades. We're really looking forward to her joining us. We've had one of her colleagues, Dr. Brian Cole, who's the orthopedist with Bulls and White Sox the last couple of years, joined us. Then Robert Quinn Keene, her group Raising Quit-Proof Kids, will be joining us. As always, one great guest after another. Emails, and email me, drrweilsportsdoctor@yahoo.com, drrweil, sports doctor, written out at yahoo.com. Bill says, my 16-year-old son is a cross-country runner. He's had on and off for the past 2 years, problems with his Achilles tendon. They've done stretching. He's seen physical therapy. You know, Bill, mixing podiatry, often persistent imbalance, flat feet, maybe high arches, can be causing abuse to the Achilles tendon area. Even the information on whether your son is in the best shoe for his particular foot type, So you want to pay attention to that. Good news is when the strengthening, the physical therapy, the shoe selection is proper, then many times orthotics is the magic addition, especially if his problem is persistent already, where we've got maybe a pronation control problem. So see podiatry. Rose, her 12-year-old daughter, is a figure skater. She's been dealing with her knees, especially with this growth spurt over the last couple of years. You know, Rose, again, your daughter, she's in that age group. Kid might be growing 3-4 inches in a year, and sometimes we'll see that the stretching of the attachments around the knee to the shin bone, one of the conditions commonly is called Osgood-Schlatter. It's the inflammation right on that bump on the shin where the kneecap tendon attaches because the kid grew real fast. Important to understand if the foot imbalance is connected, then it magnifies this dramatically, especially in the world of figure skating. I've been putting orthotics in figure skates for decades in girls because of knee trouble, and especially if the problem's persistent, where we would see that the twisting and torque of the knee because of the young girl changing into a young woman's body type, usually a widening of the hips, a little bit different angle down to the knees, and sometimes hormonal changes through puberty. The great news is orthotics are a tremendous weapon, especially if you are including strengthening and physical therapy. You've got a diagnosis regarding her knees on what's going on. If your daughter's feet don't hurt, Rose, then mostly what I'm telling you is missed. Nobody's paying attention to orthotics in the boots. Of course, making sure your daughter's fit properly and you're seeing somebody who knows what the story is with figure skating boots is involved. Jerry says, I'm a 50-year-old walker. What's the best shoe? Great question, Jerry. There is no best shoe. Depends on you. There's a lot of top brands. Key is you want to get fit properly. The other key is if you have a history of good success with what you've worn, stick with it. Number three is you've had problems or you have problems, then include podiatry. I can't tell you how many 50-year-old walkers we see where orthotics are magic for their foot or plantar fasciitis. They're magic for their shin splints or their knee or their back problems. That's why the Dr. Scholl's commercial today is the name of the game. I used to make fun of them years and years ago with their corn pads. Their commercials talking about your foot, ankle, and knee pain, back pain might be related. Put inserts in your shoes is where it's at quite often. So go to a good walking shoe store, get fit properly, discuss brands. There's many great brands. And then if you've still got problems or history problems, see podiatry. Joseph is my 13-year-old son. He plays tennis. He plays 4 or 5 days a week. Now, I myself wear orthotics a lot. I like them. Would that be beneficial for him? You know, Joe, if done properly, have a very big yes to that. I've had state champions numerous. I've had young adolescent players at serious levels. Almost always what I'm doing is I'm adding orthotics, usually because it's a problem. They've got shin splints. They've got knee problems. Their feet hurt. You know, there are a few sports growing up that are more vigorous physically than tennis, especially serious tennis. So you got the message. For whatever reason, when done properly, orthotics are a step up as far as proper alignment, proper support, depending on, again, if your son inherited your foot type. A lot of times we see that, probably 75% of the time, Joe. Gee, you know, the kid's flat-footed just like his father and grandfather. You know, she's got bunions just like her mother does and grandmother and those hammer toes. Maybe he's got high arches, so... pay attention to that for your son for two reasons. Stay out of trouble and make him a step or two quicker with better balance. Say, we're almost out of time. We are out of time. Thanks, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Catch you next week from Chicago.